morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And today we're welcoming back regional urban forester Oscar Mestiz with the Texas A&M Forest Service. Welcome back, Oscar.
Thank you.
Well, last week you were here talking to us about iTree Eco, and maybe some people weren't able to listen to that show. So sort of give us an idea of what that iTree Eco program is and how it actually may involve some members of our community.
Okay. iTree Eco is an ecosystem analysis. It's a scientific data collection, and it's a scientific process that will give us an analysis of our basically our urban tree canopy here in El Paso and what we have going on. Like, it'll give us information on the number of species and the diversity of trees, how much open space, how much impervious layer, and what the trees do for us as far as air pollution. You know, how much carbon do they collect? How much, you know, particulate matters do they collect? How much do they help with stormwater runoff? How much do they help with energy savings? So that we'll have dollars so we can have do a cost-benefit analysis so we can give to the city and say, hey, the trees are really important in El Paso, and hopefully they can develop a long-term management plan with that. The plots land on both public and private property. So if you're a private property owner and you get a notification from the city of El Paso saying, we would like to come on your property and collect data, please say yes. The teams on the ground will come out there, and or if you give them permission, they'll walk into your front yard, backyard, where if the plot's there, collect the data, and then they'll disappear, and you won't even know they're there.
And people can be looking out in their mail for these notices if they are, in fact, involved with this randomly selected plots of land across El Paso?
Correct, because there's 250 plots, and so the landowners will be contacted. And the letter will be sent out by the city of El Paso. So the letter should have city of El Paso letterhead, Davis Resource Group logo, Texas A&M Forest Service logo, New Mexico Department of Forestry logo, and Arizona Department of Forestry logo, and the U.S. Forest Service logo. So it'll be an official letter. It's hard to miss.
And the researchers will begin their work next Saturday already on June the 9th.
They're scheduled to be around June 9th, yes.
So look out for that in your mailbox if you're going to be involved in that project. And also, if you want to learn more about this program that Oscar has been talking about, iTree Eco, you can listen to the Good to Grow archives on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org for the show that aired last Saturday. But, well, Oscar, while we have you here, you're the tree guy. So we've got a lot of questions, I'm sure, from people listening who've called in before on previous live shows that we've had, and also they've called into the Master Gardener hotline wondering about, you know, tree problems. And Denise, you were saying before the show there have been so many sort of compounding problems in the past with our freeze from a couple of years ago, plus this ongoing drought. A lot of trees are suffering.
Yeah, I think it takes a while for all of these physiological damages to show up. And there can be a lot of twig dieback showing up in our landscapes now. And I think people are ultimately concerned. And I think one of the biggest things that people are always concerned about is pests that are entering their trees. And how do we keep our trees healthy so that we can avoid having these pests invade them? And I think Oscar and I are always talking about this and what to look for and whatnot. So we'd like to kind of expand on that and share that. I think a lot of times we've seen trees that are suffering, especially on our evergreens, our Afghan pines. We see a lot of dieback on that. And a lot of that has to do with water. Trees with mature canopy size have an extensive root system. It may not go down into the soil profile very deep, but it does branch out more so than past our own property lines. So I think that it's important that we, you know, assess to see how much water we're putting on, when we're putting that on, and what's really surrounding our own backyards. So the number one question I get, I think my tree is dying. What do we need to do?
Wow, you guys have brought up a lot of stuff. But you know, you guys are so good because one of the first things that both you and Norma mentioned was the accumulative damage that happens on trees. And that's what most people don't realize. Unless it's a real severe disease that comes in, you know, like some kind of wilt that kills the tree within just, you know, weeks or months, most of what we're seeing is accumulative, and it could be over several years, you know, 5 years or more. So if we go back to the February 2011 freeze, that was a very hard time for a lot of our vegetation and trees in El Paso. And what happened also during that time, we had one of the major, well, still in a drought.
Right.
And a lot of, some of the Texas has recovered, but here in West Texas, we haven't. We're still in drought. As a landowner, you know, I normally get 3 to 4 acre feet a year for, you know, EBID water, and I'm getting 3 inches, and that's enough for maybe one watering. So we are in a drought. Water utilities is concerned. Everybody's concerned. But all those effects, the freeze, the drought, and then what you may or may not be doing at your house. Have you changed your watering regime on your, however you water with your irrigation or hand water? Are you adding more? Are you adding less? Did you change out your landscape? Did you put in a driveway? All these things have an effect on the tree. So when the trees become stressed, as Denise was saying, insects and diseases, they have like, they're not radars, but they can sense that. I mean, bugs may fly. I mean, my old college roommate was doing a study in North Carolina of sounds that trees emit when they're in stress, and insects flying by, and they pick it up with their antenna and go, ah, stressed tree, and they fly to that tree.
A sound?
Yeah, just a really high-pitched wave frequency.
Is there a way we can hear that?
I don't know if there is or not.
I don't. Well, that, I mean, but like computer enhanced or something, because I would be fascinated to know what a tree in distress sounds like. Right?
But, you know, so then the beetles or the insects are attracted to the stressed trees. And then they send out their little pheromones and say, hey, everybody, this tree's stressed. It's easy pickings. Come on over. And so there's lots of different cycles that go on. And same thing with diseases. For instance, many oak trees in Texas have this fungus that sits dormant in the tree that's healthy. It doesn't do much. It just sits there. And then when the tree becomes stressed, the fungus says, ah, there are changes going on physiologically in this tree. There's less water or this, that, whatever. I can attack this cell a lot easier. And then, boy, boom, it takes off and then it kills the trees.
It's like a human, right? If your defenses are down and your immune system's weak, what may affect your neighbor will probably affect you even worse.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the number one ways a tree defends itself is by keeping itself hydrated, having those cells in that tree, all the wood cells and everything full of water, keeping them plump keeps things away. So when they start to collapse and they start to dry out, then there's a void there, and then that's where diseases and such can fill in and start attacking the tree. And it's, for instance, we had a big, big pine beetle outbreak in the Davis Mountain area, and they're usually not a problem. We get pine bark beetles here and there, and there are always native populations out there where there are native populations of pine. So like the communities of Alpine, Fort Davis, and that area, Marfa, the beetles moved out of the mountains and down into the cities and started attacking ornamental pines like our Afghan pines. And the tree's defense again is that pitch. As the beetle tries to burrow into the tree, if there's enough water, it produces enough sap, and it'll pitch the beetle out. So it keeps it from entering into the tree. And if there's not, then the tree can make entry. The females can deposit, make the little egg galleries, deposit their eggs, and the life cycle continues. And then you have a dead tree. Unfortunately, here in El Paso, some of the big things I've been seeing, Denise probably can see, is spider mites. They're everywhere, and they're almost on everything, all the evergreens and other plants too. And they are just taking their toll.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of really brown, dry Italian cypress all over town.
Absolutely.
Right. And it's only augmented by hot, dry conditions.
That's right.
Absolutely. And a lot of the cypress trees, if you have like Arizona cypress in your yard, I know on the UTEP campus they lost a lot to the Arizona, the cypress bark beetle. And like you said, the spider mites. And how do you control those things? You know, keep your tree healthy. How do you keep your tree healthy? Keep it watered. And that goes back to Denise's, how much water do I need? There's no simple answer. You have to kind of know your tree. And that goes back to planning and planting. And what did I plant in my yard? Did I plant that water-loving Arizona ash or cottonwood or willow? Or did I plant that mesquite or desert willow or oak, you know? And so some are going to die or succumb to the diseases and pests easier than others.
Well, just like a few weeks ago, we had a call from a listener who had a pecan tree, and I think they were living in the east side or the northeast, and that's not a really good place to have a pecan tree.
No.
Definitely not low water use plants.
Right. Yeah.
It's very true. And I think with our water restrictions, we really need to look at the benefits that trees do provide to an urban landscape. If we had to pick or choose, I mean, as plant lovers in general, I think Oscar and I would say, okay, well, all plants are important. Yes, but what has been that investment and what are you going to get in return? Trees provide much more than maybe an ornamental container garden or even a turf in a small homeowner backyard. So definitely, the tree guy's here. I know he's going to agree with me on this. But I definitely think that we need to pick and choose, and it comes down to it. We need to save our trees. They provide us that shade, that windbreak that's so very important in our climate. And we don't have enough trees in this area. And I think that's really where we need to focus on. And sometimes I think, you know, trees get a bad rap. Sometimes they get, oh, these guys use too much water and I don't want to use it. But look at that return. And yeah, you don't necessarily have to have a large, beautiful, broadleaf shade tree. I mean, a mesquite, a nice desert willow is going to add, you know, a nice ornamental balance to your landscape and also provide those benefits.
And I think, you know, we sort of developed sort of an emotional attachment, I think, to our trees also, because I remember when that freeze came around and killed off so many plants and trees, you don't hear so many people sort of mourning the loss of their Texas sage or of their, you know, penstemons or of any other sort of annual or perennial. But when it came to their trees,
right,
it devastated a lot of people because those trees had been there for generations, or maybe they had just planted it and they were just really proud of this beautiful tree with all the potential. But yeah, people sort of developed this emotional relationship with their trees. And unfortunately, we have this water shortage. I think right about now, this first weekend of June, I think that might be when they're finally starting to release water. But it's not going to make, I don't think, a whole lot of difference for people who own trees out in the valley. So we're pretty much down to our last minute here, Oscar. So we're going to have to ask you to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of these water restrictions and the wisest way we can keep our trees irrigated. So we want to thank you again, Oscar Mestis, for being here on the show. You're the regional urban forester with the Texas A&M Forest Service. And thanks again for coming back.
Thank you. I enjoy it, as always.
Well, you can listen to some of our past shows online at ktep.org. Just go to the Good to Grow page. And thank you so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.